Let us turn to the comfort then of Holy Scripture and the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 6. Let us read first of all verses 8 through to 13. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering, because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the Lord, unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. The fire shall upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Especially I highlight for you the verse 13. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. The everlasting burning. It shall never go out. Now the Lord, through Moses, is speaking unto the priests. There's a change. In verse 8, we read, The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons. So now we have a word for the priests. And that continues until the end of chapter 7. Now, up to this time, it is the worshipper who has been addressed, not the priests. If any man bring an offering, if any man sin, if any man wants to come near to God at the door of the tabernacle, the worshipper who wants to come to God has been addressed thus far. Chapters 1 through to chapter 6, verse 7. The children of Israel have been addressed, and the focus has been upon the worshipper, offering the five offerings, the burnt offering, the meat or the grain offering, the peace offering, the sin and the trespass offering. But in this section that we come to now, the priests are told what they have to do in regard to the five offerings. And once again, we have the five offerings dealt with, but from a priestly perspective. How the priests are to operate and what they are to do in regard to these things. And in relation to the burnt offering, the duties of the priests are described in verses 9 through to 13 of chapter 6. Now remember that the burnt offering is Israel's first and most important offering. It was the daily sacrifice. It was first thing offered in the morning. It was the last thing offered at night. A lamb burned all day. And a lamb burned all night. Every day. Every night. And that meant that the fire can never go out. That's what our text says. The fire shall ever be burning. It shall never go out. And part of the priest's practical work revolves around that. That is to be their main concern in regard to the burnt offering and to all the offerings that come to the fire. Their main concern is to keep the flames going, to keep the fire burning brightly in the church of God. And that's what we have here, instructions concerning this. That's the main thing in this chapter. You can see it. There's a fivefold emphasis upon that. There are three positive statements, and there are two negative statements. At the end of verse 9, the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the sense is, kept burning, continually burning. And then in verse 12, the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. Repeat it again. And then there's a negative after that. It shall not be put out. You're not to put it out. You're not to quench it. You're not to let it be extinguished. And then verse 13, our text, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. Three times it says this. And then it closes with that negative emphasis again. It shall never go out. You don't put it out, and it'll never go out. It's the everlasting burning. And to facilitate this, to ensure this, the priests are to be engaged in two duties. The first is the removal of the ashes. This is a very practical and important thing. A build-up of ashes over time would threaten the life of the fire and the flames. And so these ashes have to be removed. They have to be taken away. And they have to be taken away in a very careful and a very special manner to ensure that the fire continues to burn. And as well as removing the ashes, there is also then the second duty to keep adding the fuel, to keep adding the wood every morning. The priest shall burn wood on it, verse 12, every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it every morning, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. So he's to continually fuel it with the wood and with the fat of the offerings. All the fat is the Lord's, and it provides the fuel so that the fire will be an everlasting burning in the presence of the people of God. The Bible says, who can dwell with everlasting burnings? Well, here's a people can. The people of God. Surely there's something very important here for us, congregation. Something symbolic. Something very suggestive that the priests would want to meditate upon and think about. Whenever they read these chapters, as they did, they would know them inside out, so they would know their duty. The first thing that they would ask is, what does God want me to do? What's the will of God for me as a priest? And they would ask that, and they would find that out, and they would do that. They'd come to the book, and they would find out what they have to do, and off they would go and go about and do that. But they wouldn't only ask, what does the Lord want me to do? They are thinkers. They are living souls who want to learn about God. And so they will ask, why does God want me to do this? And what does this mean, this service that I carry out? And so he wants the priest to think, to be theologians, to inquire, to seek to know why they do this and what this means. What does it mean that the fire of the altar is never to go out? And why is this lamb always burning? They should ask these questions. That's how they would come to the book of Leviticus. And it's the same with the worshipper. The worshipper will ask this as well. While he doesn't play a part in keeping the fire burning, he's not a priest. He knows that it is kept burning. He knows that it never goes out. He knows that the priests are not allowed to let it go out. And he knows when he gets up in the morning and looks
towards the temple and towards the tabernacle. He can see the flames and the fire and the smoke still going up, and he knows it never goes out. And the worshipper will ask, well, what does God mean by that? Why does that fire never go out?
The smoke goes up forever and ever. And they would ask, what does this mean? And brethren and sisters, God has left us the book of Leviticus. And we read about this. And it is our duty to ask, what does this mean? And what would God tell me by this? And what are the instructions concerning this? What's this about? And to understand and appreciate the symbolism that we have here, we have to know something about the relation of that fire to God. To God. The fire is always associated with God. It's His fire. Men keep it burning, that is true, because God doesn't maintain it by a perpetual miracle. But He has shown that He is identified with that fire. That fire is viewed as having come from heaven. And the fact that it never goes out is to teach us it's not ordinary fire, it's heavenly fire, it's eternal fire. We read about the origin of that fire, but the altar that ignited it all and started the worship going in chapter 9. The priests have been anointed and dealt with and clothed. Moses and Aaron, they went into the tabernacle of the congregation. They come out, they bless the people. The glory of the Lord appears unto all the people. And something happened. There came out fire from the Lord. And it went down upon the altar. And it ignited the altar and the wood and the fuel and consumed the offerings upon it. It came from God, from His presence. And so the people see that the fire comes from God and is divine. And there are a number of times in the Bible, we'll not go into them, whenever the Lord responded to offerings with divine fire. The most famous, of course, is on Mount Carmel, in the presence of the prophets of Baal, the worshippers of the sun. They sought to get that fire to come down upon their offering, but there was silence. But Elijah drew near, and the fire fell, and it consumed the offerings and lapped up all the water. You know the story. It's God's fire. It's a symbol of the divine presence. Now, there are two things about this symbol, depending upon how one stands related to the sacrifice. The sacrifice that is consumed by the fire, there are two things about this symbol, depending upon what our relationship to that sacrifice is. Now, the first is a note of warning. And the second is a note of comfort as a warning. It speaks of the presence of the holy and infinitely just God. You remember the Lord appeared in the bush that burned. The presence of God in the bush. But it's burning. Why is it burning? Because of the approach of sin, because of the nearness of sin. God burns. His fiery justice, His terrible righteousness against sin. And so Moses is told, take off your shoes. It's holy ground. Don't come any nearer. The bush isn't consumed, but there's fire, and it's a consuming fire that consumes sinners. People of God had been taught this. They came near to the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire when they came near. It's sinners coming near, you see. It burned with fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time, he says, to show ye the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire. And they were right to be afraid. Our God is a consuming fire. Sinners are right to be afraid. The first mention of flame and fire in the Bible is very interesting. Remember, he drove out man out of the Garden of Eden. And then the cherubim are placed to circle the garden. And what have they got? As sinners are out in that world out there, drawing near to the Garden of Eden, seeking to come back again, what are those cherubim flying around the garden with? With a flaming fire. With flaming swords. Sinners can't go near that. And then the next mention of fire is that the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. So you see, fire is speaking of the proximity and the nearness of God. But it's also speaking of the proximity and the nearness of sin coming toward God. And he is a fire. This is what the Bible teaches, men and women. A fire is kindled in mine anger, God says, and shall burn unto the lowest hell. That's why there's fire in hell, you know. That's not a natural fire. That's not like a fire you see when you burn the coal and you put the wood on and the timber. No, it's the wrath of God that has been kindled and it burns to the very deepest hell so that no sinner can escape from it. It's a fearful thing. And sinner, you need to know that. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, for our God is a consuming fire. It's a reminder of the fiery judgment. We read the Numbers chapter 16. That's why we spent so long reading it. There came out a fire from the Lord and consumed them. It's a reminder of his attitude to sin. It symbolized, as it were, those who are exposed to the judgment of God, who have no sacrifice, who have no atonement. This is what they have to face. If they have no Savior in their place, this is what they have to face. Our God shall come, the Bible says, and he shall not keep silence. He is silent, but he'll not keep it. One day he'll break through the sky, and our God will come, and a fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him, and a fire shall come out from his presence and burn up his enemies round about him. This is what the Bible teaches. And when Israel sees this, they know this, that our God's a consuming fire. You fear him. You come to him through the sacrifice. You don't deal with him in your iniquity, but you deal with him in a substitute. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ spoke about the fire. What did he call hell? The everlasting fire. What did he say about the hell? This fire that's not to be put out. This fire that the priests are to keep burning, symbolizing the hell fire. What does the Lord say? The fire that is never quenched. The fire that is never extinguished. The fire that never goes out. Hell's a real place, sinner. There's a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery. Not just ordinary indignation and anger, but fiery. Fiery anger. Oh, sinner, you don't want to come before God in your sin. You don't want to stand before God in your works righteousness.
You dare not. But there's not only the symbolism here of the fire, but the symbolism of the priest's activity in relation to the fire, not letting it go out, keeping it burning. Negatively by removing the ashes and positively by adding fuel. And today all of us are believers in God who are saved, are priests to God. And we have a duty in regard to this fire, to let the truth concerning it keep burning. To keep the truth shining forth from God's word concerning God's wrath, concerning the doctrines of hell, concerning the eternal judgment of Almighty God. We can't let that fire go out as far as the shining of it forth in the church is concerned. We are to continually warn sinners of hell fire. We're not to obscure it. All the ashes about it that would obscure it, we are to remove. We are to let men see the truth of this doctrine, that our God is a consuming fire. We are to tell men that he's going to come in flaming vengeance, taking that vengeance on all that do not know God and that do not obey the gospel. We are to warn men that God's hand shall find out all his enemies, and he shall make them as a fiery oven in the day of his wrath. We're to tell men that. And the church is to let that light keep burning, the doctrine of the everlasting torments of the damned. It wasn't pleasant to watch that fire burning all the time. But it's better to see it than to feel it. And so, sinner, be warned. Don't fool about with God or the things of God. Turn, repent, believe and obey the gospel. We're not to lose the doctrine of hell, congregation. We're always to take away the ashes to show the seriousness of sin. We're always to show sinners where they're going. We're always to proclaim the fiery justice of God, knowing the terror of the Lord. We are to persuade men. And so, unconverted sinner, let the fire ever burning be a warning to you to flee from the wrath to come. But it's also not just a warning to sinners, it's a comfort to saints, to the worshippers, to those who have faith, and draw near to the door of the tabernacle in faith. It's a comfort to them. You see, the fire does not fall on the worshippers. The fire does not fall on the camp. But the fire falls on the sacrifice. The fire falls on the substitute. So to us who believe in Jesus, we have comfort in our Savior. We have comfort in his sacrifice. We have comfort in his once for all offering. The substitute of the worshipper bears the fire. And so that altar burning reminds us of Calvary. What Calvary is about. What Christ crucified is all about. You remember Elijah's sacrifice. You know, the fire ought to have fallen on Israel. They were under judgment, that was true. There were 3.5 years of famine. They were under the judgment of God. But the fire didn't fall on them. There was a sacrifice, and Elijah drew near to that sacrifice, and it fell on the sacrifice. There were 12 stones to provide the altar for the 12 tribes, for the people of God. It was an altar for the people of God. It was an altar for the 12 tribes. It was an altar for those who were in covenant with the Lord, who gathered together unto God in covenant. It was an altar for them. And the fire came down upon the altar and consumed everything up. But the people of God are still standing there.
Calvary's like that. The people of God are standing there, but it all falls on their substitute, their Savior. Now, Calvary was short in duration. We know it was only 6 hours upon the cross, but such a work by such a glorious person that he put an end to this fire in the temple. And the symbolism is ended in the fulfillment of it, in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He bore the fire for his people. I thirst, he said. And so Christ brings in the everlasting righteousness through the marvel of his miraculous atonement. And the effects of that atonement are everlasting. By his once for all offering. And so Christ is the continual and only grounds of acceptance with God. And so we see that fire as having come upon our Savior Jesus Christ. This is our hope. This is our salvation. This is how we have boldness to draw nigh to God. By the blood alone. He is as a newly slain lamb throughout all eternity. He is, as John puts it, not was, but he is the propitiation for our sins. The lamb slain for sinners. The lamb who has endured the everlasting burnings and in his sacrifice has answered them all for his people. He is the only way. And in Christ, God is not a consuming fire to believers. For Christ has borne their sins, but out of Christ, he is a consuming fire to sinners. Have you laid your hands on the sacrifice? Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ, the substitute, your only hope? As New Testament priests, all believers, the fire of this altar must continually be kept burning bright. We as the people of God must see the ground of our acceptance continually. Nothing must obscure the doctrine of the atonement. We must never lose sight of Christ crucified. We have to pull away all the ashes so that we will always see it clearly. We must always keep the cross before our eyes. We must always see Calvary smoking every day. We must view the burnt offerings without ceasing. The first thing when the Israelites rose, they saw it. The last thing before they went into their house, into their homes to put their head on the pillow, they saw it. Brethren and sisters, it should be the first thing we see every morning. Christ crucified for us. And the last thing we see at night as we put our heads to the pillow, Christ crucified for me. The Son of God loved me. He gave himself for me. As New Testament priests, we are to preach Christ crucified. To say always, behold the Lamb of God burning for us. All we do is preach Christ crucified. And all that we do removes all the obscurity from the atonement. So that people may see this burning truth. And so we have to remove men's pride. Take away the ashes. We have to remove men's self-righteousness. We have to remove the ashes of human merit and human works. We have to pull all that away. Remove all of that as much as we can. And let
the doctrine of justification in Christ's blood alone shine and burn.
And we are to preach the great truths of the crucified one, to highlight the cross and proclaim the blood, to tell of man's sins. We're to bring the text, the wood, to the fire. We're to bring the truth of man's depravity. We're to bring the truth of the divine justice and the divine righteousness and the doctrine of judgment. We're to bring the necessity of a substitute. We're to bring that wood and timber to this holy fire, so that all men may see this is our salvation and this alone, the fire burning the Lamb. And we especially pray for the outpouring of the Spirit as we proclaim these truths, the doctrine of hell, the doctrine of fiery justice, the doctrine of substitution, the doctrine of atonement, the doctrine of sacrifice in our place by the Lord Jesus Christ. We continually pray that the Holy Spirit may come down upon these truths as they are proclaimed by the New Testament priests, that the fire of the Spirit may descend upon these truths. These are the doctrines that we must never allow to be extinguished in the Church of Jesus Christ. And so we ourselves must handle these things. But brethren and sisters, let us never do so with cold hearts. Let us never do so in a cold, formal, robotic fashion, just saying and uttering the words. But let us proclaim them from fiery hearts that verily believe these things and have been affected and changed through them. We have to be fiery witnesses, fervent in faith. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, brethren, don't quench the Spirit by your folly. Don't put out the flames. Don't dampen the fervency. We are New Testament priests. We are to be fiery for God. Let your loins, our Lord Jesus Christ said, be girded about with truth, and your lights burning. Burning lights. Our Lord Jesus burned for us. And we are to burn for him. My heart was hot within me, the psalmist said. While I meditated, while I mused on these things, the fire burned. Then I spake with my tongue. That's the kind of New Testament priest we ought to be. Remember Jeremiah said, that thy word was in mine heart like a burning fire. Shut up. And I was ready, I was weary with the forbearing. I had to tell it. Do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ and the ones on the road away from Jerusalem? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? Don't let the fire in your heart go out for God and for his word, and for his house, and for his truth, and for his people. Don't let these days of darkness, and days of depression, and days of despair, don't let that dampen your spirits. Be zealous for righteousness and truth, and especially the justice of a holy God. Let us pray. Lord, bless the word. Bless the flock, thy people, through the word. Encourage them. May thy people be comforted who believe in Christ and trust in the Redeemer. May they be assured of their acceptance through such a glorious work at the cross. Bless and comfort thy people. Assure them of their salvation. Give them the rest and the peace of God that passeth understanding. And may all sinners be brought to
faith in the substitute Jesus Christ, thy Son, who thou hast provided for their salvation. May he be glorified. May he be magnified amongst us. May his Spirit never leave us. And may the fire of the Holy Spirit be upon us. And may thy word always be burning in our hearts. And may we be warmed through the truth. And may this pulpit be like a fireplace to the people of God. Through grace and in Christ's name, amen.